Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is one of the true legends in jazz, a man who has played everywhere in the world and worked with many of the other jazz greats. He's one of the most lyrical, elegant players on the scene today, Adolphus Doc Cheatham. That's a wonderful name, Adolphus.
Thank you very much.
You were born in Nashville.
Yes, Nashville, Tennessee, June 13, 1905.
1905. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, you're an amazing man. I've listened to you play for many years, and I just can't get over it. It's just, you're a great player and totally unique.
Thank you. Thank
you
very much. That's very nice of you.
Well, you've just played with everybody. I was so fascinated when I read that as a kid in Nashville, you didn't study the trumpet, you just picked it up?
Yes, I picked it up and taught myself, because there were no teachers down in Nashville in those days. So I had to teach myself.
But then you played sax too for a while.
Yes, I played both at the same time. I would play one, then I'd play the other, make a lot of noise on both of them.
Well, what kind of how did you get started in the business? What was your first gig?
Well, you see, my first gig was, I was traveling on the road show, T.O.B. show, and one of the shows was Mary Lou Williams was on this show, and she and her husband and three or four more guys, they had singers. It was like a T.O.B. vaudeville show.
Oh, vaudeville.
That's one of the shows that I was on. I did several of those type of shows, but I always came back home because the money was never right, so, you know. And so I just did two or three of those, and my real first gig that amounted to anything was in Chicago when the show broke up in Chicago, and I was stranded. Everybody was stranded. I'd never been to Chicago before. But my first gig there was making a recording with Ma Rainey in 1926.
Oh, my God.
With Albert Wynn's Creole Jazz Band.
And didn't you do one with Bessie Smith also?
Yes, I played with Bessie, Clara, Trixie, all the Smiths. Because I played a lot in the theater in Nashville. We had a little Bijou Theater. It was a vaudeville house, and all of the singers came through there. There was no other place for them to play. The show I was saying without going through this vaudeville circuit called the TOBA. And I played for all of those singers, for Waters, everyone, and so many more.
But it's so fantastic to me. I mean, as a kid, did you just go up and audition or say, were they auditioning musicians or advertising for them for the show?
No.
How did you get into it?
They had rehearsals, like the show would open on a Monday morning, then at 12 o'clock, but they rehearsed before that. And most of the time, there was no music, because in the theater, the Bijou, there was only a drummer and a piano player. That's all. And a cornet player from New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's three pieces. So I sat in on my saxophone with them. There was never any music, because some of the singers and things didn't have any music. They sang these songs without music, and we had to learn them from the pit. That's what they did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, you were just a natural-born talent. You know, you didn't go through any academy or music school. You just learned by doing.
That's right. I just learned by doing it. Yeah.
Well, let's play something. I'd love to do a tune. What should we do?
I think Louis Armstrong. He was one of my favorite teachers. He taught everybody, I may say.
Oh, Louis.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
he did.
So I'd like to do I Double Dare You to Fall in Love with Me.
Okay.
I double dare you, sit over here. I double dare you to lend me your ear. Take off that high hat and let's get friendly. Don't be a scare cat, can you take a dare? Oh, I double dare you, kiss me and then I double dare you to kiss me again.
You are truly amazing. You know, it's funny, I haven't thought about that tune for 40 years. That's an old tune, Doc.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? Yes, but you must know millions of tunes.
Yes, I have remembered so many tunes.
And I mean, they're all in your head.
Yes.
Well, when you go, how many people do you have in the band at Sweet Basil?
Oh, it's only a quartet, trumpet and rhythm section.
You've got a nice piano player there, Chuck Foles.
Yes, he is very nice.
And who's the rhythm section?
Well, we have Jackie Williams as drummer and a Bucket Calabrese as our bassist.
Oh, I played with both those guys. I used to work with Jackie a lot. And yes. Bucky, years ago, we made a record date with Dave McKenna. Nice rhythm section. Well, you brought up a tune that was written by Sam Coslow that must be one of his early tunes. It's really kind of a surprise to me.
1925, I think.
Was it a dream, this tune's called?
Yes.
Can we do that?
Let's do that.
Oh, that must have been one of Sam Coslow's earliest tunes.
Oh, yes.
What year was that written?
1924.
Oh, my goodness. He must have been just a budding composer. Because I met Sam years later. In fact, he actually sponsored a record date for me, and I did so many of his songs, like Cocktails for Two. That was probably his best-known tune. He was such a nice guy. But now, how do you go about learning all these tunes? Did you just hear them and decide to do them?
No, you know, I was in Chicago when they recorded this song, and I was playing saxophone, and I was doing a lot of work outside of Chicago with small groups like Lillian Armstrong and other little groups, maybe piano and trumpet, and they were playing all those songs back in those days. Was It a Dream? It was a big hit in Chicago. When Louis recorded it, she insisted on Louis recording this song.
Who was Earl Hines. Who was the singer?
Lily DeShields.
Oh.
Lily DeShields.
And was she a big name then?
Well, she is from New Orleans. No, she wasn't. But she wanted to do some singing, and she came to Chicago, and she wanted Louis Armstrong to record, and Earl Hines to do the recording on this. She did many more songs, but this is one of her biggest hits.
What was that? Jimmy McPartland, my husband, he used to talk about hearing Louis and Earl. Was it the Grand Terrace? Was that the club?
Well, they played, no, I think Earl Hines was at the Grand Terrace, but Louis was at the Sunset.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
I was at the Dreamland.
Did you have a band of your own?
No, I was with Albert Wynn. He was from New Orleans, trombone player. He had a Creole jazz band. That's why I learned all the New Orleans tunes in Chicago. I stayed there long enough to learn all those New Orleans melodies and things.
Well, you just took off from home and you just took to life on the road, I guess.
No, I was stranded. I was with the Mary Lou Williams and Bearcat Williams road show.
Oh,
and we broke up because the money was always bad, and I was stuck in Chicago. So first thing I did was got a job washing dishes down in the Loop. That was my first time in Chicago, so I didn't know anything about it. And someone took me up to hear Louis Armstrong, Freddie Keppard, and Joe Oliver, and all those great New Orleans musicians. And then I said, well, this is what I'd like to do.
You know what? I'd like to switch off and maybe play a piano solo for you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In fact, you played a little riff or a little melody when we were when we were warming up, and it made me think of a tune that that I'd like to play. Sunday, Monday, or Always?
Yes, beautiful song.
All right, here goes.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. You may enjoy another of our productions, Song Travels with Michael Feinstein. Check out the podcast. Subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels.